Welcome to Love Fellowship Believers, a non-denominational church desiring to fulfill God's will. We invite you to join us in an atmosphere of praise and worship in the powerful teachings of Christ delivered in a most creative way that reaches every age. Located at 1900 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Greensboro, North Carolina, on the wonderful campus of Gillespie Park Elementary School. This year, we're focusing on building a foundation solidified by grace, with walls made by faith, and our homes being filled with salvation by being united in living devotion. We promise you, visiting us online or in the sanctuary will be an experience that will be life-changing and one you'll never forget. We hope to see you soon. Services begin at 11 a.m. Have a blessed day.
Amen. Is it okay if we lift God higher in this place? Amen. Is that all right with anybody to go ahead and lift up the name of Jesus? I believe scripture says that if we lift up the name of Jesus, he'll draw all men unto him. So is there anybody willing, in spite of what you're going through and what you got going on, to say, you know what, I lift him higher, higher than my circumstances, higher than my situation, higher than my bills, higher than my health, higher than anything else I got going on. I choose to surrender myself today, and I'm just going to lift him up and let him reign up. I believe we said earlier, let God arise, that the enemy would be scattered. So if we lift him up, I mean, it all goes together. I mean, amen, 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 amen. We lift him higher. Amen, amen. Like that song. That's all right. Amen, amen. Romans chapter 12. We'll be dealing with verses 16 through 18. Amen. Verses 16 through 18. Amen. Minister Grant shared early in this week. She says, you know what? I sure enough appreciate Sister Astria because she really helped me out. I like that message version. I like that message version. So although we're going to read it in King James, I'm also going to read it in the message version as well, possibly to help someone understand it just a little bit better. Amen. Romans chapter 12, verses 16 through 18. Once you've got it, would you say amen? Amen. You could acknowledge just by standing to your feet in reverence to God's word. I believe it's in the Blue Bible, page 977. Romans chapter 12, verses 16 through 18. It says, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Verse 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. In the message version, it says, get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Don't be the great somebody. Don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. In verse 18, if you've got it in you, get along with everybody. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, first and foremost, we say thank you. God, thank you for this time. God, thank you for this moment. God, thank you for who you are. Lord, it's preaching time, and we would ask that your word would be shared in a way that you would have it to be done. So open up our ears, our hearts, and our minds that we would be receptive to what you have to say here today. God, bless us that we would be blessed. Father, we need you. We can't make it without you every step of the way. Help us, Father, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen, amen. You may be seated. I want to give a quote. A quote. This is a quote by, when I was looking it up, it said that it came from Helen Keller. The quote is, alone we can do little, but together we can do so much. Alone we can do little, But together, we can do so much. We can do so much. Today, I want to talk to you about one simple word. Harmony. 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 You might have seen it before. I remember T.D. Jakes was trying to give an understanding of this harmony. This harmony and how harmony all works together. And he did it by using a musical note. Did it by using a musical note. He had the choir, his choir, he had his choir to all sing the same note. And they sung all the same note. Ooh, this is what we're getting ready to do. Mika, come here. Elena. Yeah, all y'all come here. All y'all come here. This is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do. Yeah. Okay, so y'all turn around. Y'all face everybody. This will work. So, if we were going to sing, let's see, what would be a song with all the same note? If you just start off, what's the song we all, everybody know? What's the song? Okay, Hallelujah. But I want you to all start off in alto. Okay? So somebody get a note. Somebody get a note, and I want everybody to start in that same area. Okay, now let's say Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Sounded great, didn't it? Does that sound good? Sounded great. Okay. So now, and they did that all together, right? Didn't they do that all together? They had to get a little note and had to work all together, right? So now here comes something that's going to require a little bit more work. Now I need you to harmonize that same thing. And so when you harmonize it, everybody isn't going to start off in the same note. Somebody might be a tenor, somebody might be a baritone, somebody might be an alto, somebody might be a soprano. Everybody will have their own note, but in singing their own note, they harmonize to come all together. So does everybody remember how it sounded last time? And that sounded pretty good, right? So we're going to get everybody to harmonize. See, they didn't know I was going to call them up here to do this. We're going to get everybody to harmonize, and we're going to see how this sounds when we harmonize. Keep going. Stop right there. Did you see the difference? How did that sound? Thank you so very much. There's a difference when you come together to do something, and there's a difference when you come together to do something and you play your part. Did you catch it? You caught it right there? If we all had a job, and our job as believers in Christ is to lift up the name of Jesus, amen? Let God arise. This just played out through the whole service. To lift up the name of Jesus, I can't necessarily lift him up like you can. Right? So if we all came together and we all tried to lift him up all together in the same way, guess what? I might not be able to do it as good as you can your way. And so in that way, I actually might not be doing my best. In your way, I might not actually be using it the very best that I can. But if we're allowed to work in harmony, that means you lift them up the best way that you can. I lift them up the best way that you can. You lift them up the best way that you can. And so now that when we're all doing it in our own way, but doing our very best, we get more accomplished. Harmony. Romans chapter 12 is a very familiar chapter. You just can look at the first few verses. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be it not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may provide what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, that not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Very, very familiar scripture. As you keep going down and reading, you'll find it very, 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 very familiar. But as Paul was writing to the Romans and he's working here in this chapter, what he's doing, he's saying, let me talk to believers. Let me talk to believers. Possibly during this time, there was a lot of things going on. And Paul said, you know, there ought to be something that differentiates us as believers compared to the world. There ought to be some responses and some actions that we have as believers that show something different than what the rest of the world sees. It should look a little different. It shouldn't fall in line with what everybody else has to say. If your circle of friends, if your circle of co-workers, if everybody around you is happy to be around you, everything might not be flowing right. Amen. Can everybody hear me? So, anytime that as a believer, everything around you, it's like singing all on that same note. That everybody in your family, everybody, all your coworkers, all your friends, everybody is going along in that same note. You might be together, but it's not harmonizing. Everything shouldn't just fit. So, there ought to be some things, sometimes, that as a believer, that you're able to stand upon when everybody else might not be able to go with it. Scripture says iron sharpens iron. That means that there sometimes need to be some friction to make things better. Does everybody understand what I'm saying now? Here, Paul was talking to the church there at Rome, and he was saying, look, as a believer, let me show you how some things ought to go, how we ought to respond to some things, how some things ought to line up. And so as he's going through, as he's explaining this, he gets to verse 16. He says, be of the same mind, one toward another. Not the same mind necessarily just in all the same note, but as we harmonize together, we ought to be able to come together and all fit in so that everybody is doing their part. You might not like the way I do my part. I might not like the way that you do your part. But at the end of the day, we're doing our part. It says, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. And so this goes back to as we dealt with those earlier chapters. Sometimes we can get so high-minded and think that we all that and not deal with some folk because they look different from us, because they act different from us, because their sin is different from ours, and our sin is different from theirs. Maybe someone else's sin, they wear it on their shirt. And maybe somebody else's keeps theirs in the closet. But nonetheless, there's none of us that are perfect. And so he says, as we come together as believers, we ought to be able to come together and folk ought to be able to get along. And there's going to be some folk that are in different levels of this thing, but yet and still, at the end of the day, we all believers. How is it that a believer can always just hang out with believers? As a believer, if it's my job to go ahead and spread the gospel and to tell somebody else about Jesus, but I'm always hanging around other folk that are already believers, how am I spreading the gospel? How am I letting somebody else know about it? So sometimes as a believer, I ought to find myself in a position that's not really the most comfortable thing. But at the end of it all, my job should still be to lift up the name of Jesus. Oh, I have no problem doing that. Maybe being over here in this area isn't your area. But never think to be that anybody else is lower than you because somebody doesn't have, or because somebody else is going through. Because somebody else's situation is different. Amen. Be not wise in your own conceits. Amen. That high-minded, and that goes back to that pride, that ego. That pride and that ego. Here's an example of Christian pride and ego. I've been in the church 20 years. I have such and such title. And you ain't gonna tell me nothing. I've been doing this and I've been doing that, and how you gonna come in here and take my position or sit in my seat or do my thing, really? As a believer, you ought to be happy there's somebody even willing to give you a break. God Almighty. Verse 17, recompense to no man evil for evil. In other words, reward no man evil for evil. Don't sit around and try to pay back somebody. Since you did me wrong, I'm gonna do you wrong. That was an Old Testament thing. An eye for an eye, amen, amen. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But Jesus came and said, you know what? If they smack you, I need you to turn the other cheek. And let them smack you again. Now look at here. Before we go any further with this right here, be careful praying about that. Be careful about praying about that. Because you would be put in a situation where somebody hauls off and gets you real good. For y'all that didn't hear that, she said you got four cheeks. You didn't hear that. I mean, it's possible that smacking can go on. But as it happens, as that situation happens, as a believer, there's a response. My response isn't supposed to be like everybody else. It's a natural response that if you do me wrong, for me to turn around and try to do you wrong in return. It's a natural response. It's a natural response for you to cut up. Well, let me go ahead and cut up right along with you. I was in a situation this past week. I was in a situation. It was a rough situation. And because of the situation, everybody else thought that I was going to respond the way that was most common for everybody else to respond. To the point, without going into a lot of details, to the point that they called security and had me escorted out of the building. There was a situation. It was real rough. And the people that called security know me. And I was like, hey, man, it's Kevin. They was like, yeah, but just in case, we don't want, you know, just in case. Walked me out of the building, down the street, across the street, to the car, and stood there until I got into the car and closed the door. It's true. Because it was the most common thing for me to be angry. It was the most common thing for me to respond in a way that if somebody did me wrong, I should turn around and do somebody else wrong. But how many people know that all things... And so even in the midst of the situation that was crazy, I'm sitting there being reminded, it's okay. If God has allowed it to happen, it's something better that's going to come out of it. So I was actually sitting there like, wow, that's messed up, but I'm good. That's messed up that happened, but ooh, it's going to work out. I might not get it right now, but what's coming later? What it is that God needed to make my bowl just a little bit bigger because the blessing that he had in store for me, my bowl wasn't ready just yet. So he said, I'm allowed this to happen just so you can slide over just a little bit. I need you to work on your bowl. I need you to work on your cup. Because what I got in store for you, you ain't ready to receive it just yet. Not that I ain't God and I can't bless you, but you're not ready. So I know that all things work together. So there's no reason for me to do an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. I should be in a position as a believer that if you do me wrong, it's okay. Scripture says I don't fight this battle anyway. It says the battle is the Lord's. And I'm sure, I know for a fact, he can get you back better than I ever could. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm real good with my hands, but I'm telling you, he can get you back way better than I could ever get you. So be real careful when you do it to me, because I got somebody that fights my battles for me. Amen. So don't do evil for evil. Don't try to pay back somebody like that. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Be good. Have a good report. As a believer, that's why in the Bible it says, look, you don't have to swear. As a believer, you shouldn't have to swear that you're going to do this and swear that you're going to do this. As a believer, when you say yes, it ought to be yes. And when you say no, it ought to be no. Because there ought to be some integrity about you. As a believer, your name should be associated with integrity. If there's a conversation and it goes on and you say that you're going to do this and you say that you're going to do that, there ought to be some integrity behind your name that someone can believe, because you said you was going to do it, it's going to happen. And if in the process of it trying to happen and trying to come to pass, something comes up, you have the integrity enough to pick up the phone and call somebody and say, I know I intended to do this, or I intended it to be that way, but something came up. Because I'm not perfect. I intended it to be that way. I had to change my conversation in that. Because sometimes people say, well, Pastor, I need you to do Pastor. And I'll be like, look, I plan to be there. I plan to be there. I plan to be there. And I had to change that. And I had to say, look, I'm intending on being there. Pastor Maxwell has Glory Conference going on. I called him and I said, look, I intend to be there. I ain't made it there yet. That don't mean I don't have a heart to be there. That don't mean I don't want to be there. But I intend to be there. But I also know that as a believer, there's going to be things that happens. Things that happens, like things that happened to me this morning. Things that happened that I've seen some other people dealing with in service today. Distractions. Not having a microphone. That was a distraction. Looking up and seeing some kids doing some things that they ain't supposed to be doing. That's a distraction. Getting up this morning, trying to get here, as you're trying to get here, running late and this going on. Lord, I'm trying to get here. Had some folk call to come pick me up. Hey, don't mind picking up nobody. Go to pick up folk. I didn't drive my car yesterday. I didn't get my car yesterday. So I jumped in the car to go pick up people. And as I was picking up people, looked on, my light came on. Had to put some gas in the car. Distraction. Distractions. Little things. The enemy does not have power to make you do anything, but what he can do is that while everybody's sitting there quiet and everybody, he can go. And your attention to be drawn. What is that noise? What is that sound? In a quiet room, as a teacher, you might have done this. I did it in orientation one day, and I got bad marks on my orientation for doing it. In the county, I do HR orientation, so people come in and they do the orientation. And so as I was giving my spiel, you know, the people are sitting in the room, and it's the right temperature, and they nice, comfortable chairs, and so people are starting to fall asleep. And I've actually seen people that have fallen asleep during orientation, and before orientation was over, the county told them, well, we thank you very much for interviewing, but your services are no longer needed. I'm very serious. I've seen it happen. So I was doing the orientation, and some folk was nodding off. So I took my hand and I hit my hand on the desk, and it made a loud, abrupt noise, and folk woke up. And they paid attention after that, but they put in my little thing. He was so unprofessional. Honey, I just saved your job. You don't even realize it. But go ahead, put whatever mark you want to. Maybe in class with students sometimes. Maybe you have to drop a book on the floor or do something to get everybody's attention. A distraction. And that's the way that the enemy does. He does these type of distractions to get us off. You know, this week you intended on doing this. This week you intended on doing that. And a bill popped up and it sort of threw your finances off a little bit. And you got frustrated because your finances got thrown off a little bit. Or that coworker, you were working on a project. And as you was working on a project, somebody came up and had something to say about it. And that little distraction sort of threw you off. So it's a distraction. But Paul says, hey, integrity is a big thing. Be careful how you respond. I just had a conversation with one of my daughters. Be careful how you respond. Your attitude means so much. Your attitude means so much. Be careful how you respond. If everybody else in school is cutting up, that don't mean you need to be cutting up. If everybody else is showing out, that don't mean you need to be showing out. This is how, as believers, we work on harmony, that we would all come together, that things would all go. This is how in a church. This is a thing that you would see in common in successful ministries. The folk are willing to just go ahead and harmonize. And I'm going to go ahead and work in my area, and you go ahead and work in your area, and we're going to push through this thing together. And there's going to be some integrity. And if you do me wrong, I ain't going to get tore up over you doing me wrong. Hey, it's something that happened. We're going to go ahead and move on along and get it done. Because at the end of the day, guess who it's not about? It's not about me. At the end of the day, it ought to be about him. Because we said, let God arise. We said, lift up the name of Jesus. Let him be in charge of it all. We don't get caught up in this morning, me and Arian was there. It was getting ready for church, and commercial. Oh my gosh, commercial after commercial after commercial is politics. Whether it's the presidential race, whether it's the Senate race, whether it's politics after politics after politics. And if you're not careful, as a believer, you'll get consumed with that kind of mess. And your conversation end up being more about politics than it actually is about God. Police brutality, injustice is going on. It's sickening. It sickens me to see it. Not that I didn't know that it was happening. Just now we live in an age where it's shared a whole lot more. And we get to see the fact of it happening. You ever heard those statistics where they say every 5 minutes this goes on, or every such and such this goes on? Well, now we live in an age where folk can actually share it. And you can actually see it. This stuff happens all the time. Children are abducted all the time. Someone is being abused all the time. Someone is being unnecessarily loses their life all the time. Someone is being raped. Someone is all the time, all kinds of stuff. And this stuff is shared through social media all the time. And if you're not careful, that stuff can take over. And as a believer, you miss actually what you're supposed to be here to do. Paul says, look at how you respond to stuff. Look at how you respond. Verse 18 says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Here's an area where you got to know who you are. You got to know who you are, and you got to know what you can withstand and what you can't withstand. He says, if it be something, if it lies in you, if it's you, if it's in your nature, for you to be able to, then that's what you need to do. But if you can't, you need to understand when you need to remove yourself. Ever been in a situation and noticed that there was an issue and there was a problem, and then to come and find out that you was actually the one that was the issue? Okay, I'll raise my hand. That's happened to me before. There was a situation, there was something that was going on, and I'm like, wow, this is really messed up that this is happening. And then once I ended up being removed from the situation, I found out, oh, I was the one that was causing the hold up. You got to know who you are, what it is you can handle, what it is you can't handle. You wanted to give me a bracelet, is that what it was? You got to know what you can handle and what you can't handle. Everything is not for everybody. Every area is not your call. Maybe walking down Martin Luther King and talking to some folk, maybe is not your area. Maybe in doing so, you're going to have an attitude in doing it. And how receptive would I be if someone wanted to tell me about Jesus, but in the process of telling me about Jesus, they had an attitude about it? Here, you know, you ought to just go ahead and get saved. You ought to read this. Really? That was inviting. You feel like you wanted to read this, huh? Did I make you feel comfortable in doing that? I can't believe you ought to. That's crazy, right? That's not the way God operates. Paul says, look, as believers, there ought to be some harmony within us. There ought to be some unity. We can be strong by ourselves, but we're so much stronger when we come together. I want to encourage somebody today to be willing to be a part of something, to be willing to come together, to be willing to look at and reevaluate your life and your situation and everything that you got going on, and look at all areas. And in the process of looking at all areas, look and see, is there some areas where you've causing some disharmony? Are there some areas where you could do better to help to bring some stuff together rather than to push some stuff apart? I want to let you know, this ministry can't be all that it is, that God has purposed it to be, without you, without your full participation, without you using all of your gifts, all of your talents. I believe God has given us everything that we need already right here. I don't think God has his hand on LFB and he's holding LFB back. I think he's waiting on LFB to make sure everything is together to work on it, so that he can say, look, I already told you what I got promised for you. I already told you what I have for you. I'm just waiting on you to get in line. And I think that's something that all of us can work on together. Amen. Come on, let's lift up the name of Jesus. Is that okay? Come on, let's lift up the name of Jesus. Is that all right? I mean, he's worthy, isn't he? In spite of what we go through, in spite of what happened, I still believe he's just worthy. I think he's an awesome God. He's a great God. He's a good, he's all of that. I really think that's who he is. And with him being all of that, I want to make sure I let somebody else know. However that is. If that's me standing up and talking to somebody and preaching in a situation like this, then that's fine. But if that's me just walking out my life every day and somebody's seeing it, then that's fine too. But I got to be able to share it all. I can't just share bits and pieces. I have to be able to share it all. What social media does a lot of times is that people share their mountaintop experiences. They're willing to share, oh yeah, I went on vacation this week, or ooh, I got this new job, and this is, they're willing to share all of these milestones and those kind of things, and that's good. That's good. There's nothing wrong with that. But there ought to be something that balances it out. If someone is looking at you walking your life, they ought to see sometimes, well, Pastor stood up there on Sunday, and it seems like I've had folk come and say, well, Pastor, it doesn't seem like you go through it, because, you know, when you up there preaching, you're smiling and you seem like you got a good attitude and all that. No, I go through it all the time. If you don't realize that I go through it all the time, just spend a little bit more time with me outside of Sunday. That's all you got to do. Spend a little bit more time with me outside of Sunday. And you'll see that I'm not always the guy with a smile on his face. Because things easily frustrate me. things easily because it always happens. But I got to stay focused and not let those distractions keep me from being who it is I'm supposed to be. I'm human. I didn't come from anywhere else. I'm human. And so when somebody does me wrong, it bothers me just like it bothers you. When somebody talks about you the same way that it bothers you, when somebody talks about you, it bothers me when somebody talks about me. I haven't mastered turning the other cheek. I haven't. I can do it. I haven't mastered it. You know, sometimes you get smacked on the cheek, then you turn around and get that look like, smack me again. I'm going to turn over here and hit my cheek. Smack me again. How that happened? That's, I don't know no other way to tell you. I'm working on it. It's a process. Harmony is not always easy. And anytime you try to put the strength of harmony back upon yourself, you're going to fail. You have to put God first in it. You have to put God first in it. For the 2016 church to be able to make it, 2016 ministry to be able to make it into this next level, into this next stage, we got to be willing to put God first. There's too many churches putting programs together first. They putting how much money they got in the bank first. They putting together how many services they have first. They putting what type of preacher, what type of clothes, what type. They putting everything else first other than God. We got to be willing, in spite of, to put God first in everything that we do. I'm here to tell you, I can't tell you exactly how it's going to work out. I can't give you the specifics, but I'm here to tell you that when you choose, look at chapter 12 and read chapter 12. When you choose to surrender yourself and actually put God first, everything else in your life will line up to be the way He wants it to be. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. It's personal decision time, personal decision time. If after listening to today's message, God has shown you, God has shined some light on an area in your life where you can do better, where you can do better.